about getting ready for the holidays. Because they're on us. Now, how many are excited about the holidays? Okay, that's very anemic, and there was about 10 hands. Okay. How many of you are just not looking forward to Christmas or the holidays this year? And it's okay, this is not a trick question. Nobody is going to get mad at you, and you're not making a bad confession. Look, you're just not ready. Yeah. How many of you just really don't care? Okay, well, there you are. So guess what? Whether you like it or not, we're getting you ready. Because like somebody said, I'm fierce. I am your drill sergeant. I am your pastor's wife. Slap you around, beat you up, dispense guilt because I can be the West Coast distributor of guilt. I'm just teasing. But we know that if we don't get ready, that it's not going to happen. And I don't want the devil to steal one day from us. Not one day. No matter how bad things may seem or how hard life has been right now or how challenged you are and how exhausted you are. And God knows, He knows that you're exhausted. And you young working moms, listen, thank God you don't know how sleep deprived you really are. We do as older women, and we're praying for you, okay? That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. So we've got four things tonight on getting you ready for the holidays. So, Eleanor, take it away.
Okay. Praise God. So happy Pastor Debbie is here. You know, she wears me out trying to drag her everywhere where I think you girls want to see her and hear her. And she's had an amazing schedule, teaching just multiple messages for the rest of the weekend and the week. But this is where we love to have you. This is amazing. Yeah, it's Christmas, and what Pastor Debbie just said, we just hate it when the enemy steals from you. And if you do not do Christmas God's way, or just ignore Christmas, you are being robbed. Because Christmas is a season that God wants for us to celebrate. God is a party God. You know that? God is a party God. He likes celebration. Just read the Old Testament. They had feasts, and when they had feasts, they had preparations, and they had meals, and they had food, and they had music, and they had dancing, sometimes for days. Why? Because we need to have feasts. We need to have celebrations to remember, because we sometimes forget. We take things for granted, and we forget, and we need to stop. We need to stop and celebrate the birth of our Lord at Christmas time and recover from the year and gather ourselves. And the enemy does not want you to be blessed at Christmas time. He wants it to be a stressful time for you. But we are telling you as tonight that we believe that you truly have the choice and have the power and have the influence to set the atmosphere in your Christmas and set the atmosphere in your house, because you do. You do set the atmosphere. So we want to start with point number one, being tag you're it. There is no getting around it. I remember when I first was married, took me a couple years to figure out, I think I'm doing this thing alone. And then I thought, okay, but somebody else is going to come around. I had a mother in my life that cleaned the house and did my dishes and put up the Christmas tree and everything. And I was stubborn, I think, a little rebellious and hard-headed. It took me some time, and it took God some words and some teaching me lessons to get it in my head that I am the mother, I'm the woman in the house, and tag, I'm it. You don't try to run away from it. See it as a beautiful thing that God has given you as the woman. Listen, the guys don't care what the color of the ornaments are. They don't care if it comes from grandma, whomever on the farm. They don't care for a new tree. They don't care if the lights don't work, right? Sometimes the ideas, men are wonderful, aren't they? You know, we can learn from them. Simplify, you know. But God made you according. You are created in the image of God. God is creator. He loves beauty. And that is a piece of Him that is in you. So just let it out. We want to encourage you. Tag your it. Listen to this scripture. God is supplying us and made us with everything we need to do this. Okay, Proverbs 31, verse 14. How many of you did the Proverbs 31 series recently? I know a lot of you went through it. Remember this verse that says, she's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. Now, how many of you can tell me honestly, when you have gone off like a trading ship, and you did your rounds, and you found your finds, and you got those deals, and you found something beautiful, and you bring those bags back in the house. Is there something that happens in your heart? It's a good feeling, isn't it? You were created to gather beauty like that, and to bring it in your house. That is, you are a woman. You are created. Proverbs 14 says, a woman builds her house. That's always fascinating me. And not a man. A man is a builder, right? But the home is what it talks about. A woman builds her house, a wise woman, the Bible says. But a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands, it says. So with your hands, meaning your deeds and your actions, you are either building up your house or you are literally destroying your house with your actions. And do not go there. Just ask the Lord, if you do not have the courage, ask the Lord to give you that merchant ship anointing this Christmas, that you can go find those finds. If the money is less, God will give you deals. He cares. He cares about shopping. If he didn't, I don't think he cares about me, because I like it so much. I like to shop for groceries. Those years that we didn't have much money, I did my shopping thing in the grocery store. I had to get groceries, and I just decided I don't have much money to shop for anything else, so I'm just going to enjoy shopping for groceries. So that works. I mean, that's great. We were created for that. So set the atmosphere in your house. Listen, do something special. Cook something. What a thought. Bake something. How many of you like to bake and to cook? Just get that smell going in the house of something good. Those of you who say you can't cook, you're not speaking the truth. Tell us you can't read, then we will believe you. Because if you say you can read, you can cook. You can read a recipe, you can cook. Simple as that, right? So everybody can cook. If you can read, you can cook. So just pull out that book, read the recipe, get something good going. And then Martha, there's a story in Luke 10 about Mary and Martha. We have to, though, the balance of that is not to get too much like a Martha, that you get so busy with everything else that you miss the whole point. That's what happened to Martha. She was complaining to Jesus about her sister Mary that was just sitting there. Mary was just, she just took it easy. She discerned the time. She loved the Savior. And she said, you know, it's more important for me to sit here. And Jesus said she chose the good thing. But Martha went to Jesus and accused Mary to him and said, tell her to get up. I'm alone in the kitchen. I'm cooking. I have things to do. Dinner time's going. Everybody's hungry. Martha was just going on and on and on. Just lay down the Martha spirit. Don't get into that. Discern the time. It's Christmas time. Discern the time. It's a time to do whatever it is you're doing. The tag, you're it, to say, thank you, Lord. I take this as my responsibility for my house, and I'm going to have fun doing this. I'm going to spread joy doing this, and I'm going to love you, Lord, in everything that I do in my household this Christmas. I'm going to do it as unto you, because we are celebrating the Lord in our homes. Okay, so point number one, tag, you're it. Okay.
You don't have to go. What are you using? Are you using the King James? Okay, we could just share one Bible. Okay, good. All right, tag, you're it. Hey, and that's the thing. I think I realized Proverbs 31, if you haven't studied it or gotten in a small group, you need to. Because I'll tell you, Proverbs 31 is who you are. And I used to hate that chapter. And I'd get mad at God and say, oh, come on. Nobody can be this woman. I feel bad about her. I feel bad about me when I read about her. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you're reading it wrong. It's not who you're supposed to be. It's who you are. You're already this girl. This is who you are. You just have to learn to bring it out, because it's in you. Just like your kids have all their muscles and all their organs. And You don't have to wonder if there's anything missing. All their plumbing's there. They just have to grow up to become adults. You're the Proverbs 31 girl. And when it says that she's like a merchant ship, that gives you permission to go on the hunt. You are anointed to shop. He is with you on the shopping adventure. And when I was poor and I had welfare and I was a welfare mom and back in the 70s, I remember going to yard sales and thrift stores. Because if I couldn't go to Neiman Marcus and I wouldn't dare set foot inside of Neiman Marcus, I was too intimidated. I'm still not going to a Neiman Marcus. It's too expensive. But, you know, I still love junk stores. Oh, man, Marshalls, that is a place to go. $15 for tops. Betsy Johnson belts for 10 bucks. Betsy Johnson is so haute couture. Let me tell you, she is really hot. Okay, if you don't know who she is. All right, anyway, rabbit trail back. When you shop, you are anointed by God to bring the beautiful things back into your home because you are on the inside made for beauty. You were born in a garden. You were created in a garden. And there's a garden on the inside of us. It's imprinted on us. And when you're not in beauty, you're not happy. You're miserable. Come on, you know it. And you know what? Even if things aren't what they should be in your house, just go get a candle. Go to Tuesday morning and go buy a candle for $2. And light that sucker. Start somewhere. Like Eleanor said, and the devil just wants to steal Christmas from me and the holidays from me, which is Thanksgiving. I'm an American, and Thanksgiving starts my whole holiday season off. And Eleanor, I can't cook like you can because I don't have the taste buds you have. You cook and I'll eat it. But it starts everything. And if you haven't cooked a turkey, a bag, a cooking bag, it'll make turkey perfect. Well, sort of. Don't let anything take a celebration from you. God says we have a hard enough life. There's enough things to be sorry about. There's enough things to be condemned about. There's enough things to fight the fight of faith about. When we have opportunity for a party, let's grab it. And like Eleanor said, we're it because we're the party girls because guess what? The men do not do parties. At least my man doesn't do a party. Maybe yours does. If yours does, could he lay hands on mine? Number two. Talking about Christmas. Because looking at Mary, talking about the holidays. Tag, we're it, number one. God, I'm reporting for duty. I don't know how we're going to do this, but God, in faith, we're going to make this holiday a celebration because it's not about money. It's about the heart. Number two, let's believe for what's never been done. Let's believe God for what's never been done. God's called us to walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, things may be tough in your home. Maybe it's been the worst year. Maybe it's been the best year. Not everybody's having a hard time. But the beauty about Christmas and the beauty about Thanksgiving and the beauty about these things, but especially about Christmas right now, because I want to look at Mary for a moment, is that it is a time to step back and not let the enemy steal the wonder and the amazement of what God's done, that God became a baby. And the women were in on it first. And that in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve fell and she said, here, honey, have a piece of fruit and die. Well, she didn't exactly say that, but that's kind of what happened. And everything unraveled. Everything unraveled. And God looked at the enemy, the serpent, and he said, I'm putting enmity between you and the woman. So there's a war going on between Satan and us. Don't kid yourself. He hates us. And God said, and there's one coming from the seed of the woman who will crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to take out your government, and he's going to dethrone you from this planet. And it's coming from the seed of the woman. And one of the wonders of Christmas to me, girls, is that God couldn't use the man because there was sin in Adam's blood. But he took a woman, a virgin. And he did what had never been done. he brought forth his only begotten Son, the Logos, the Word made flesh, stepping out of eternity and putting himself into the womb of a virgin to become a man, to redeem us, to reconcile us back to God, and to restore us. And he used a 16-year-old, possibly a 14-year-old, we know she was young, teenager named Mary. So when I think about Christmas, number two, then I believe that God, you're asking me at this holiday season to believe you for what's never been done in our family and in my life, in my church, with my girls in my house, which is you. God, I want to believe for what's never been done because Mary did that. And, you know, there's just two little stories here, and I'll just quickly tell them. If you look at Luke, the first chapter, there's two things going on. Gabriel is the messenger angel that God has sent. And Luke starts out in Luke chapter 1 with a man named Zacharias, and he's a priest. He's of a very renowned family. He's married to a very godly woman who's from the Levitical priesthood family. And he is in Jerusalem, and he has duty at the temple. And they rotated. They didn't live in Jerusalem. They rotated through the temple to do certain things. And once in a priest's lifetime, once, they threw lots, and that priest was given the opportunity and the privilege of burning incense and lighting the candles in the holy place inside the temple. Once in his life, that was it. So we see Zacharias, and he's lighting these candles. And in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias is there. And all of a sudden, he has a visitation from Gabriel, the angel. He just shows up in the temple with Zacharias. He's there all by himself. And Zacharias says to the angel, well, let me read it to you. Can I read it to you? I got to hurry because I don't want to keep you too long. You got your Bibles? Anybody got a Bible? Let me just read this quickly and put my glasses on. And this is what Eleanor said. Debbie, she said, you know how you are. You're just going to get into the Word, and then I won't have any time to finish my points. I said, oh, no, I won't do that. In Luke chapter 1, the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Well, duh, here's a real angel, Gabriel. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And he goes on to tell him that he's going to be great, and he's going to be the herald of the coming Messiah, and that he's going to be a Nazarite, and that he's not to cut his hair, and that this is going to be a holy son, and that this is going to be a famous prophet that has been long prophesied, and finally he's coming. And this is what he says. And Zacharias says to the angel in verse 18, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel of the Lord said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Now, do not make Gabriel mad. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So here we have Zacharias not believing for what had already been done. He was married to Elizabeth. She was an old woman. She'd probably gone through menopause like Sarah, woman, mother of faith. And Zacharias was a priest. He taught about Abraham and Sarah. He had already seen that Abraham and Sarah had a miraculous child. He'd seen Hannah's womb open up. He'd seen others that were old have babies. It wasn't a new thing. But when the angel Gabriel came to him and said, in the temple, burning incense in front of the Holy of Holies, poof, here comes Gabriel. He says, how do I know this is going to happen? Gabriel said, I'll tell you how you're going to know what's going to happen, old man, because you're not going to believe me. You're going to shut up and not speak until this thing comes to pass because of your unbelief. I'm talking about believing God for what's never been done. Now let's just go a little bit further, and all of a sudden we see Gabriel again, 6 months later, very active. Now he's visiting a virgin named Mary. Now we know in history that a young Jewish girl was married probably by the time she was 16. She was engaged to Joseph, so we know that she was very possibly and probably culturally a teenager. Young, very young. And here comes Gabriel, and he says, Hail Mary, the Lord is with you. And she's shocked, and you know the story of Mary. She says, what is this, and who are you? He says, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid.
And this is what he says to her in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. Now we're talking about believing God for what's never been done. And the angel said to her, Mary, you're going to have a son in verse 31. You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He is the coming Messiah. Mary, you're going to be the one to have him. You're the girl that God was speaking about to Satan in Genesis chapter 3. And Mary says to the angel in verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now, she asked a question that Zacharias asked. But here's the difference. This 16-year-old asked a question because it had never been done. Nowhere ever had a woman had a baby that hadn't had intercourse with a man. Are you hearing me? She's a virgin. And she says to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And now Gabriel doesn't rebuke her because this has never been done. And he says, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Highest is going to overshadow you. And the one that is born to you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month, because Zacharias went home and Elizabeth got pregnant. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And this is what Mary says. She says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. Mary heard the word, and she believed, knowing that she was going to be held in dishonor as a woman that got pregnant out of wedlock, because who is going to believe she hasn't slept with a man? What is Joseph going to say? What is going to face her for the rest of her life? And for the rest of her life, Mary was tormented by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and Jesus was called the son of a fornicator. But this young teenager heard the word of God, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. So what is God saying to us this Christmas? Well, Mary was the first. When the angel Gabriel said, Hail Mary, full of favor, the Lord is with you. That word favor is only found one other time in the New Testament. It's found in the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. It's called charito. It means you are highly favored. And God says in Ephesians chapter 1 that as his children that we are highly favored, just like Mary. And just like the word came to Mary, was received by Mary, and brought forth through Mary, the word of God wants to come to us and impregnate us with faith and with hope. And God says, what can you believe me for this Christmas? You are highly favored just like Mary. You are my daughters. You are my girls. What is it? What is it that you're believing God for this Christmas? Is it to reconcile a loved one? It is to have a Christmas that you've never had before? Is it to feel the presence of God around your table? Is it to love your children and have them love Jesus like they never have before? Is it to gather friends? Is it not to be alone because you're always alone at Christmas? What is it you need God to do? And what is it you want to get pregnant with and you want to bring forth this Christmas? Because I submit to you, just like Mary, God wants to impregnate us with his kingdom and what's never been done before in our families and in our lives. So this is not about money. This isn't about money. This is about faith. This is about understanding that this celebration isn't about a party. This is about saying, he's come. He's come. God has been made flesh. And we, as daughters of God, have been redeemed and reconciled and restored back to him. And just like Mary, God wants to do something in our lives that's never been done before. So point two, let's believe for what's never been done before. Eleanor.
Wow, as Pastor's speaking, I know there are things being seed being planted in your hearts. We gave you that card on a practical note, that card that we gave you where to put the points. Write down on that. We tried to make it look pretty so it fit in your Bible for Christmas season. Write on there, as you listen to the word and as God stirs that peace in your heart that maybe you have lost your faith for, write it down on there as a sign of your faith tonight that, yes, this is what I'm believing God for. Please allow me just to put in here also, if you really want to do yourself a huge favor, make sure you listen to the messages online. It's free on the website of the church, the last few weeks of Girlfriends messages. It's free for you there to listen. It's on the subject of faith. And don't go into this Christmas without those messages. Please listen to it. You will be blessed. We've had some amazing messages. So we're going to move on, and we ask you to use that card on a practical note. We have that card for you. And the next point is, giving is greater than receiving. You know, Christmas is a time for giving. It's a time for generosity. It is a time where God, Almighty Creator God, is modeling to us, is reminding us of generosity. My goodness, can you think of anything more that anybody can give than His only begotten Son? To let Him go, to save you and to save me. So here we are in Christmas, and we really, truly believe God is saying just this Christmas, be generous. Display the spirit of generosity. Listen, generosity is something incredible. It's similar to the fruit of the Spirit. When you look at this generosity, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it is powerful when you act in the fruit of the Spirit in the absence of that thing in your life. When you love somebody who loves you, it doesn't take much of you. But it takes the Holy Spirit inside of you to love somebody when they mistreat you, right? So generosity is not something that you do when you get a bonus and you give God a little extra. Generosity is not something that you do because you have a lot to give. Generosity is a condition of the heart that we have to say, this Christmas, Lord, teach me to be generous. And, you know, you have to be wise also. I would like to encourage you. The Bible says count the cost. The Bible says write it down. Before Christmas season gets started, write down what it is that your budget is to spend for Christmas. Write down the people that you would like to bless with a gift. But listen, there is something that comes in play when you say, Lord, open my heart. Help me to be sensitive, Holy Spirit, to what it is that you want me to give this Christmas. I have to share with you the testimony of a woman in my life that have taught me this at a younger age, right after I married my husband. When I got to know my mother-in-law, she's 85 years old, she's still alive, so is my own mother, 85. They are both saints and angels in my book. We grew up with enough, just enough. There was generosity in our house in the sense my mom never held back. She still budgets. Tithes, offerings, missions, building fund. That's, you know, first on her budget list. And God has blessed her. But then I met my mother-in-law and she blew me away. She is probably one of the most generous people. She taught me generosity because then I met this woman and she was always taking cooking soup and take it to the lady around the corner that couldn't see anymore. Then there was a lady across the street that didn't have a way to get a prescription from the pharmacy that needed something. And she would run out. Where are you going, Mom? I'm just going to go get so-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so's prescription from the doctor. She was always seemingly insignificant things, but always giving. And you could not compliment her on something. You go to her house and you say, oh, Mom, this is a beautiful vase that you have here. And she would say, take it. I would love for you to have it. So I've learned not to compliment her. That's a beautiful scarf. She takes that thing right off and give it to you. Man, those nice, beautiful dishes. I didn't have many of them. I took a lot of those home those years. I had nothing when we first got married. It blew me away. I thought, how can you do that?
How can you just give your stuff away like that? I was so not used to it. And truly, it was like nothing for her. She says, don't worry, my child, she would call me. She'd say, God supplies, he'll give it back to me. When the grandkids would come, and she didn't have overflow. She did not have a glamorous house. She did not have all the jewelry that maybe, you know, you would think she would have if she could be so generous. But boy, oh boy, there was not a time that I've been in her presence that she was not generous. And it changed my heart. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. It touches you. It touched me more than the gifts that she actually gave me was, Mom, how did you get to be so generous? She just has a generous spirit, and still this day, she loves to give. And that is such a beautiful thing. You do not have to have all the money in the world. You do not have to have everything in your house. But it's a spirit that flows out of your heart when you get into contact with others. And this is the way that we want to encourage you, all of us, to shine the light this Christmas and ask the Holy Spirit to make you sensitive. Because, you know, it's not always about our minds and deciding what we're going to do. But ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to make you sensitive so that this Christmas will be different, because you will display a spirit of generosity that others will be amazed. Just be amazed. And in this house, and I'm not saying it just because this is the house. I already told you it's the best church in the world. This house, there is generosity like I have never seen in any other house of God I've ever been. This is a generous house. There's generosity. There is a spirit of generosity upon this house in the way the giving, in the way the missions, and the way the food, and it's giving. This church gives every day. It's giving, 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 giving. That is what Christmas is about. It's not about getting, but it is about giving.
Wow. It's true. Christmas at the Rock. Every year we try to add to Christmas at the Rock for the last 21 years. And I love this house, and I love the spirit of Christmas. So, just some things to think about. Tag, you're it. 2, let's believe God for what's never been done like Mary. Let's remind ourselves that giving is greater than receiving. And 4, last point, let's remember that God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Christmas is about a baby. And of all the places he could have been born, the palaces, the nations God could have chose, God specifically chose a king named Caesar to move a nation named Israel into a census so that he could get his little girl all the way back to Bethlehem to have Messiah. And you know the story. When she got there, no midwife, no mom, no sisters, no help, no room. So Bethlehem was the place where David was from. Remember? And of course, Micah had prophesied, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be smallest of all the cities in Judah, out of thee shall come forth him whose going forth is from everlasting. So it was necessary that Messiah be born in Bethlehem. And what's amazing to me is that God chose, of all the places to bring his son forth, a lambing cave, because that's what it was, what we call a barn, to have him. And Jesus was born in a lambing cave, and his first bed was a manger. Now let me explain. Bethlehem was the place where they raised the flocks of God for the slaughter in the temple of Jerusalem, because it's only 3.5 miles away from Jerusalem. You can see the hills of Judea and Bethlehem from Jerusalem. It's just a stone's throw away. And so on the hills of Judea, on the hills of Bethlehem, it's rocky, and there are the temple shepherds that live in Bethlehem and take care of the flocks, because thousands and thousands of lambs must be used for the temple slaughter. Are you with me? So there were shepherds, and they were watching over their flocks at night. And you know the story. Here comes Mary, and here comes Joseph, her first baby. Teenager, no parents, nothing, just Joseph. And all of a sudden, she's having a baby in a lambing cave, in a barn, and a manger is his bed. And the first smell that the King of Glory smelled was animal urine, probably. Cold, hay, animals. Now, I just said point two. Remember, God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. I've been to Bethlehem twice. And I've climbed down the rock steps because there's an Orthodox church over Bethlehem. Remember, Chris? And as you climb down the steps into this lambing cave, it is a cave. It's where they had the lambs, where they would bring the ewes and they'd have the lambs. And there, you see how small it is, how dark it is. And I thought, my goodness, here comes Jesus, and they put him in a manger, and now it's holy and special. And here's a lambing cave that's just ordinary, and now it's famous. And everybody goes to Bethlehem to see it. So God takes the very ordinary, and he makes it extraordinary when he's in it. So what does that mean to you and me? That means that everything you do for the kingdom of God for this season, he's in it when you do it for him. And he takes the ordinary, and he makes it extraordinary. This isn't about money. I keep saying that. This is about faith and obedience and love. Let me just read a scripture and we'll end. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. For you see your calling, daughters, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. You know, when you wrap a gift and it doesn't look great, who cares? When you bake that cake and it falls, it doesn't matter. When you burn that turkey. When you work so hard at a pie and it just is horrible. And your husband goes, oh my gosh, it's crap, Debbie, that's crap. When you shop and you're exhausted for your grandkids or for your kids, and when you look for the deals, and when you scrimp and save, and when you make something, and when you do all of these things that nobody sees and it seems like nobody cares about, and God, why am I even doing this? You just remember that God sees it. And just like that baby in that manger was nothing more than a feeding trough, but when God was in it, it became holy and special. That when your hands touch that thing in love, it becomes holy to God. And you have no idea how he's going to use that and make it special. God sees everything you do. He sees you scrubbing those toilets. He sees you scrubbing the floors. He sees you cooking when you've just come home from church and you've just come home from work and everybody else is just off doing their own thing and you're still in the kitchen. He sees all of that. And it matters. It matters. And it's holy to God. So this Christmas, just remember that everything you touch and love is holy and special. It's not how it looks. It's not how it smells. It's not how expensive it is. It's all about your touch of love and God being in it, because he takes the ordinary and he makes it extraordinary. So just to wrap it up, this Christmas, this holiday season, beginning with Thanksgiving, if you don't want to be alone, then invite somebody over. But let's love until it hurts. That means the family that's coming that maybe has offended you or hurt you, you're going to love them again anyway. You're going to give them a fresh start. Let's laugh until we cry, because if we don't laugh, we will cry. Okay, so you made something and it was a mess. Who cares? At least you're just on your journey of learning. Do something you've never done. Let's work until we're exhausted. That's going to happen. But it's okay because we're doing it for the king and for our families. Because if we don't, it's not going to get done. And I'm not going to have my family miss a celebration. Just because I say I'm too tired and it's all about me. No, it's not about me. It's about him. And it's about memories for my family. So let's work until we're exhausted. And last one. Let's live amazed every day. Starting now. Every day. At the wonder of Christmas. That God used us. His daughters, to bring in the kingdom. It took a woman, the seed of a woman. She was the first one to know Messiah was coming, and they were the first ones at the tomb, and they were the first ones to know of the resurrection. You are more valuable than you know, and you are more influential than you have a clue about. Know how important you are to God. Tag your it. So let's do it with joy. Let's remember that it's more important to give than to receive. Let's believe God for what's never been done. And let's always know that God takes the ordinary and the plain and makes it extraordinary when he's in it. And beloved, he's in you. And he can't wait to shine the light through you this holiday season. We love you. We love you so much. Father, I just lift up these girls to you. Precious women that love you, that want to be all that they can be for you. And I pray a grace over them for this holiday season, Lord, of stamina and faith and courage. Lord, that you will use them in amazing ways. From a smile to a wink to a laugh. Lord, just use them as you can only use your girls. And I pray a blessing over them now. And may you cause our dollars to spend like hundreds. And you cause our tens to spend like thousands. Cause our $100 to spend like $10,000, God. Commit ourselves to you this Christmas and this. Thank you for the privilege of being able to celebrate one more Christmas. Amen. To the tables. Eleanor, are you going to tell us what to do?